Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege of being together in the house of God and feeling your presence. Thank you for the opportunity of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Father, we declare from our heart this morning, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us today, that we would give unto you the glory that's due unto your name. You are the one that redeemed us. You're our creator. You're the one, Lord Jesus, that sought us and saved us from our sins. And we are praying this morning that you'd help us and anoint us and use us to speak to this congregation the words of the Lord. I pray, Father, that we'd be your mouthpiece this morning. Somebody would receive something from the message today. Lord Jesus, may every heart be fed and blessed and souls be helped in this service. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I would like to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning on the spiritual harvest. Jesus is talking to his disciples here about a spiritual harvest. There's a multitude of people around him, and often there was in the ministry of Christ a multitude of people following after the Son of God. And you know, people see different things in crowds. A businessman, he sees dollar signs. A politician sees votes. But Jesus saw souls. When he looked on a multitude of people, Jesus saw eternal souls. And he said to his disciples, he said, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. So Jesus said, you, talking to his disciples, you are going to have an effect on the harvest. And I want you to pray about the harvest. I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is the people in this world. And, you know, when the Lord Jesus looked on the harvest, he was not just looking on the Jewish people. His eyes were reaching all around the world. He saw a worldwide harvest of souls. And Jesus was concerned not just about the disciples, not just about the nation of Israel. He was concerned about those in the farthest parts of the world. Later on, he will tell his disciples, I want you to begin in Jerusalem, then in all Judea, go to Samaria, from there to the uttermost parts of the world. And I want you to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody. He told them, I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. I want every man to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. I want every person to hear the good news. Now, this is the marching mission of the church in every age, is that we are to tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ, that God has a plan of salvation. And in that plan of salvation, he has sent his Son into the world to give his life for fallen men so that they could be forgiven of their sins and become children of God and have access to heaven. That's the good news. And this salvation provided by Jesus Christ is a salvation that is free to everybody. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. All you have to do is receive it by faith, as it's been provided for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you, there's never been another plan like this in the history of mankind. There's been all kinds of religions, and there are many religions in the world this very day. But there's never been one like this wonderful salvation, because all of the others came out of the mind of men, but this one came out of the mind of God. And it was so different that the Bible says that the cross was a stumbling block to the world. But to those who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. So that this plan of salvation, in which God, through His Son Jesus Christ, paid for our salvation for us, we don't have to pay for it. We couldn't pay for it. It's already been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why it's freely given unto us. It's not that this salvation didn't cost something. It cost plenty. It cost the blood of the Son of God. But it's provided freely to you because somebody was willing to pay for it for you. Hallelujah. And the Son of God paid for your salvation. This is the glorious news of that God wants us to spread around the world. You know, we had a Muslim man that came to church here for a while. We talked to him about the Lord, about Jesus. And his idea, and the idea of many people now, even in Christianity, his idea and the idea of many people in the world outside of Christ, was that at some point we're going to give account to God. And that we're going to have a ledger. On the one side is our good deeds, on the other side is our bad deeds. If our bad deeds are more than our good deeds, we go to hell. If our good deeds are more than our bad deeds, we go to heaven. And that's the idea that many people have about the judgment of God. And this Muslim man had that kind of idea about the judgment of God. But I'm telling you, brother, in this salvation that came out of the mind of God, it's completely different from that which comes out of the mind of men. Because the only thing that's going to stand you in good stead when you're facing God in the judgment is this: do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? For the Bible says, "He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And it doesn't matter how many good things you've done. If Jesus Christ does not live in you, you do not have eternal life. And it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, brother, you cannot have good deeds unless you've got a good heart. Hallelujah. And so God starts on the inside of us and puts His Son inside of us and changes our heart. And we do good because we've been made right by the blood of the Son of God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has provided salvation for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's given to us freely because it cost heaven the blood of Jesus. And it is a salvation that works because God starts on the inside, hallelujah, and changes us and gives us a new heart. We're to tell this good news to everybody. And all this is good news. And the Lord wants this harvest field to be laborers, to be in this harvest field. Now listen, you and I are not responsible for people being saved. We can't save people. I can't save anybody. I've been talking to people this week about their soul, trying to present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and make them realize their need of a Savior and to understand that sin is deadly and that Christ came to deal with our sins and to save our souls. And you know, I told these people, and I tell everybody, anybody, that the worst thing that can happen to you is for you to think you are saved when you're not. And there are a lot of people that consider themselves to be saved, and they're not saved. They have no idea what salvation's all about. And in the mind of many people, salvation is merely being rescued from hell. That's not what salvation's all about. I mean, that's an outcome of it. But I'm telling you, this salvation that God came to bring to us in His Son Jesus Christ is a salvation that delivers us from our sins, the power of our sins, and sets us free from the guilt and power of sin. That's what salvation is. The Bible says, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." This is a salvation that Jesus came to bring to us. There's a lot of people that love to be saved from hell and keep on sinning. And many people have believed the lie of the devil, same lie that he told Eve in the Garden of Eden, when he said to her, "You can sin and you won't die. And a lot of people have believed that lie. And so they keep on in their sins, expecting heaven without salvation. But brother, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has come to save you from your sins. That's what salvation is. It's a saving us from our sins. And the being saved from hell is just a consequence of being saved from your sins. Praise God. And so, this is a glorious salvation. This harvest field. We're to go into this harvest field. We cannot save them. It is our responsibility to tell them. Hallelujah. We're to tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're sort of like the lepers sitting outside the city of Samaria. The city has been besieged by the Syrians. And there's no food inside the city. And people are starving to death. And here are these lepers sitting outside. They're cut off from society anyway. They can't go inside the city because they're lepers. And so they're sitting outside the city. And one day one of them says to the other, said, "Well, let's go out to the camp of the enemy." He said, "All they can do is kill us. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go out there, we're going to die. Let's just go out there and see." So they got up and went out to the camp of the enemy. And when they got there, brother, to their surprise, there wasn't nobody there. The tents were empty of people, full of food, full of valuable things. So they started eating and gathering up things, valuable things, gold and silver, and they're stashing it away, and they're having a good time. And then one of them says, "Wait a minute. But we're not doing right. Look at all of this that we've got." And those people inside those walls are starving to death. We do not well if we do not tell what we've found. And so they went and told the people in that city what they had found. Now we're like those lepers. We've found a treasure. Praise God. And it's our responsibility to tell them people inside that wall that's starving to death, "Hey, we have found some food. We know where you can get some help." And hallelujah. And you know, this is what God wants us to do, to be bearers of good news and to those who need it the most. Hallelujah. So we're to be involved in the harvest. We're to tell the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know, every one of us can play a part in this. We all can tell somebody what Jesus has done for us. You don't have to be a theologian to do that. You really don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that. You can be just like that man that Jesus met in the Gadarenes. He's a man full of the devil. In fact, he's full of many devils, legions of devils. And Jesus cast the devils out of him. And when Jesus cast the devils out of him, he wants to go with Jesus. And Jesus told him, "I want you to go home to your family, your friends, and tell them what great things God has done for you." Hallelujah. Now, he didn't have no Bible school education. In fact, he'd just been delivered from a legion of devils. But Jesus said, "I want you to go back home and tell everybody what Jesus has done for you." You know, this man had been living in the graveyard. He'd been. They couldn't tame him. When they'd bind him, he'd break the chains. He'd break the ropes they put on him. And he'd didn't wear any clothes. And he'd cut himself and harm himself because he's under the control of the devil. I'm telling you, young folks, listen to me. If you understand the cruelty of the devil, you'll get out of his clutches just as fast as you can. Because he mistreats the people that he holds in his grasp. And he was mistreating this man, and Jesus came and delivered him from the power of the devils. I'm telling you, he did what everybody does that gets delivered from the power of Satan. He put some clothes on. You hear that? I said he did what everybody does that gets out of the control of the devil. He put some clothes on. And when he put some clothes on, and he was tame now, they come out to see him. You know, the people that knew him, they come out to see him. They find him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And this is what Jesus does. He gives us our right mind back. Hallelujah. The world looks on us sometimes and they think we've lost our mind. But I'm telling you, all we did was lose the wrong one and get the right one. Amen. So Jesus gives us the right kind of mind. Here's this man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for him. He said, now you go tell others what God, great things God has done for you. All he had to do was just walk down the street. And everybody's marveling. He'll not say a word. People just marveling. Well, that's that man that didn't wear no clothes. That's that man that nobody could tame. That's that man that lived in the graveyard. That's that man that everybody was afraid to walk down that way. And here he is, walking among us, clothed in his right mind. Hallelujah. Just his appearance was a testimony of the greatness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, one man said, if you cannot witness as you walk, amen, then you cannot witness with your talk. So this man can witness as he walks. Hallelujah. And brother, if we can witness as we walk, the way we live our life, then we can witness with our talk if we can witness with our walk. There's a vast harvest field out yonder. It starts right in your home. Go ye into all the world and begin at home. So that, now listen to me. We're to live such a life, such a consecrated, sanctified life, that the people in our family have confidence in our prayers. We're to live such a sanctified life in the walls of our home. Certain nobody in that house ever hears any profanity come out of our mouth. They see us when we're under pressure. They see us when we've been mistreated. They see us in all circumstances of life. And brother, I'm telling you, if our Christianity does not work within the four walls of our home, it ain't no good anywhere else. Did you hear me? I said, if it don't work within the four walls of our home, it ain't no good anywhere else. So God wants to give us such an experience with God that it works in the four walls of our home. Hallelujah. Our children know that we are consecrated to God. Our wife knows that we are consecrated to God. Our husband knows we are consecrated to God. They have confidence in our commitment to Jesus Christ. So it starts at home. Right in the four walls of our home, we begin to work in the harvest field. Hallelujah. Oh, brother and sister, listen to me now. You got a responsibility to win souls to Jesus. But don't overlook that little girl and that little boy that sits at your table and eats your food and your blood runs in their veins. Don't overlook that little boy and that little girl. I'm telling you right there, is where we're to start gathering in the harvest right in our home. And God wants to use us not just in our home, but where we work, where we go to school, where we do our business. And hear me, if you're going to beat people out of their money, don't you think you're going to be a witness to them? If you borrowed from somebody, I don't care if it's a corporation or an individual, if you borrowed money from somebody and given them your word, as a man of God or a woman of God, you keep your word. You do what you said you would do. You pay back what you owe. And as a person who belongs to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So you don't have to go out and over-borrow You don't have to go out and, you know, borrow more money than you have any possibility of repaying. You don't have to do that because you're a child of God. And God's promised to meet your needs. So you don't have to go out there and slave under this load of debt that you don't need and you shouldn't have. I'm telling you, God knows who you are, where you are, and He'll meet your need. The reason why people get in such bad problems and bad trouble in this area is because they're not content. And that spirit of covetousness drives them until they're in big trouble in this area. All right? So, how did I get off on this? Where was I at? How in the world did I get in this hole I'm in? Amen. Well, I'm telling you, brother, that's the way it works. Praise God. When we are doing right, living right, serving God with all of our heart, it works this way. Amen. You don't have to be a slave to somebody else because you're head over heels in debt. Christ will meet your needs. Amen. I was talking about being honest, wasn't I? Talking about our witness. Talking about being a light to those around us. So we got to do our business right in order to be a witness to those people about us. We're involved in the harvest field. Now, you know, we cannot witness to everybody. I cannot do it. There's over 6 billion people in this world. I cannot tell all of them about Jesus. You can't tell all of them about Jesus. But I'm telling you, we can help somebody else go to those people that we cannot go to. And there are people who are willing to do it. There are people, and listen to me now, we're not missionaries here this morning. I mean, we are in a certain sense. But we're not the kind of missionaries I'm talking about. But I know some missionaries, and you know some, and we've had them here at the church talking to us. And I'm telling you, these people, listen to me now, these people have pulled up their roots. These people have said goodbye to an easy life. These people have said, I will go to people that don't know me, that don't care a thing about me. But I love them, and I want them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will go and suffer. I'll take my bath in the rivers, and I'll eat what I can get my hands on. And I'll just take whatever money somebody sends to me and try to live on that. And I will go and I will suffer danger. I'm telling you, people that have stood in this pulpit and talked to us about the mission field, and they've sailed up rivers, brother, where people are dumped out of them little canoes in the rivers. And they've sailed stormy seas, and they've been in the little boats when the waves were high and tossing that boat around. And they didn't know whether they'd make it or not. And they've been in places where there were poisonous snakes all around and dangers on every hand and hostile people and not knowing how they're going to be received. I'm telling you, these are the kind of people that go into these places where you can't go and talk to people you can't talk to and carry this good news into the harvest fields. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, oh yeah, you may not can do it, but you can help these people go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest field. That's the reason we've got a mission program, brother and sister. That's the reason why we support missionaries. Because we are helping send laborers into the harvest fields. We have given you the names of missionaries for you to pray about supporting a missionary. And we are, in the next Sunday, the Lord willing, we're going to receive an offering for our missions. And I hope you've been praying. And I hope you have somebody on your heart. Because this is what we want. We want you not only to be given money to missions, we want you to bear on your heart some missionary that has gone into the harvest fields to carry this good news. We want you not only to be giving money, we want you to be praying for those who are in the harvest feels. Now, what I want you to do this morning, before you leave, if you know who it is that you feel like the Lord would have you to support, I want you to see Sister Judy this morning before you leave and let her know. And you may not know the missionaries. You may say, well, I don't know. But I would like to give anyway and let you just direct the money to who you think best. And that'll be all right, too. If you don't know the missionary, that'll be all right, too. But we want everybody involved in this mission program because it is the heartbeat of God. And it is the plan of Christ. And He said, I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest field. Now, I'm getting ready to wind up, Sister Judy. I want you to come to the piano. Don't forget, I want you to do that now. I want you to tell Sister Judy, if you know, I want you to tell Sister Judy this morning who you would like to support. And I want you to do this. I want you to make up your mind, Lord, I'm not only going to give money to send missionaries across the world. I am going to be a missionary right where I am. And I am going to be a witness for Jesus Christ to people around me. I will not be silent when people do not know the way of salvation. Hallelujah. And you and I can be a light to people in the darkness. I'm telling you, they're in the darkness all around us. People are in the darkness. And sometimes it takes a little courage for us to speak up and say something for Jesus Christ. It takes a little courage for us maybe to invite somebody to the house of God or to just let them know that Jesus loves them and that He's made a plan of salvation for them. And sometimes we feel like they don't want to hear what I've got to say. They may be starving to hear what you've got to say about Jesus Christ. I've told you this story before about the evangelist preaching the revival. He said, all right, I want everybody here. Tomorrow, before you come back to church tomorrow night, I want you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I want you to ask them this question. What do you think about Jesus? And so, there's a little lady in the church. She's just a homemaker. And she's a seamstress and she works around the house. And she said, that's not for me. I don't see anybody. And that really isn't for me. She went home the next morning. She got up. She's doing her business in the house, and there's a knock on the door. And the Holy Ghost says to her, this is your opportunity. It's the milkman. And she says, he's probably already gone by now. And the Holy Ghost says, again, this is your opportunity. And again, she made excuses. And again, the Holy Ghost said to her, this is your opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. So she ran to the door and flung open the door. And the milkman is just getting through the gate, leaving the house. She hollered at him, what do you think about Jesus? Praise God. He spun around. He said, woman, I have been under conviction for 3 days. You are the very one I need to see. And that man got saved that day because somebody spoke up for Jesus. There are hungry hearts out there, brother and sister. Somebody's out there that needs to hear about Jesus. I'm telling you, the bottle ain't satisfying them. And the drugs are not satisfying them. And running to the bars and the clubs is not satisfying them. And there's an emptiness inside of them that only Jesus can fill. And we are to get into harvest field and let people know that there is a great Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there is a great salvation. Listen, brother and sister, You're not going to tell anybody about Jesus until you are convinced of how wonderful He is. You got to be convinced in your own heart that He's wonderful, He's great, and that this salvation really works. And when it's worked in your heart and it's worked in your life, you know it'll work in other people's lives as well. So the Lord help us this morning. There's three things I want you to do now. One, if you're not here, if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know this Savior, I want you to step out, come to this altar, and give Jesus your heart this morning. He's asking for it. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I'm telling you, you don't have to leave like you came. Jesus will save you this morning. If you're not saved, you can be saved right here this morning before you leave this place. Then I want you to come and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to help me that I would be a tool in the hand of God in the harvest fields, helping bring in the harvest. And I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do about the missions program? Who would you want me to support? What would you want me to give? And I want us to make up our minds what to do. We need, I'm telling you, brother, the hour's late. And we need to be doing all we can do to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. If you're here without Jesus Christ, the altars are open. If you just come to these altars, bow in these altars and confess your sins to God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We want to wait just a few moments here for anybody that's in this place lost without Jesus. You still haven't made your calling and election sure. We want to give you a chance to get right with God. We want you to come to these altars. Kneel in these altars and give God your heart this morning. It's a wonderful Savior who's calling to your heart. It's a wonderful salvation purchased by His blood. It really works. Brings joy and peace to lives that have been shattered by sin. Does anybody here you'd like to come and give Jesus your heart? We're going to wait just a moment here for anybody that's lost. You'd like to come.